Our guest tonight is Stephen Quayle, and I'll tell you what, got a lot of emails in here. Some of them are pretty good. They're some of the questions are really good, and I'll pass them along to Stephen as we go on through. But just for the uninitiated, I don't have to tell you this, but I will anyway, just in case you need to be reminded. Listen with an open mind and have no fear of opening your mind, because there's nothing in the content of tonight's show that will harm you in any way. Most people are predisposed to believe one way or another. Anyway, as individuality slips away, normally I would go ahead and take a little break now so that we could have a nice long run with Stephen, but I think we'll just bring him right back on in. And I got to ask you something, Stephen. What isn't the first step to subjugation the general degradation, beating down, and elimination of the individual, like Patrick McGoohan did in his Prisoner series? In other words, they're taking, certain schools are trying to take he and she, him and her, out of the schoolyard language because they don't want any gender bias. Now, in my world, being just exactly like everybody else, this notion of equality is just exactly the same thing as being nobody. So am I on the right track, or have I gone off the trail and off into the ditch?
No, you're bright and astute, and you know exactly what's going on. It's just like the family. God is the ultimate father. Jesus referred to him as my father, your father. The family of God, the family is one of the most unique manifestations on earth of what it means to live and love together and flow together. So with the gender, quote, confusion and the taking away, ultimately it's one more step. You destroy the family. You destroy the procreative ability to reproduce value. Every value that we have seen destroyed in this country, it's being destroyed by design. And the Communist Manifesto is nothing more than Lucifer's blueprint for destroying the word freedom. It's kind of like Braveheart. Mel Gibson's portrayal of William Wallace was so emotionally provoking because you saw there the attempt to control everything. And this is what the Total Information Awareness Act, I'll even take one step further. The degradation could be no more pronounced or in the face of American citizens than what the TSA is doing to little old ladies, people with ostomy bags, little children being fondled. And Texas, I wish Texas, I know you live there, John, would be consistent and follow through, because it could set the stage for other things to allow my wife, your wife, our children, my children, to be absolutely fondled, touched inappropriately, when the laws on the books say that that's illegal, shows you that they that are writing the laws and enforcing the laws are using them to absolutely take away the last bit of dignity that we have in this country. And every day it grows worse. Everything we think, do, and say are in the plots and schemes they're trying to control us with today. I'm taking a little takeoff there on Zager and Evans tunes. But we're at a phenomenal, and I say phenomenal, that not in a good sense of the term, but an unusually wicked period where all the boundaries, look, even the boundaries between men and women, what you just described there on the British genderless thing, or the gender attempt to make God an it and not a he, or to make God a she, and she has never been he. Obviously, woman was created out of man. Doesn't mean there weren't other female entities prior to the creation of Adam and Eve. But God said when he created Adam and Eve, he did something different. And this is what I think people have got to understand in biblical basic history, that God himself created woman out of man, not to be put under man, but to be aside him, to be a helper, to be the very vehicle that they share life together. And so now with all of the attempts at feminism, and by the way, feminism and humanism, anytime you hear the word humanism and feminism, if the feminists in this world would stand up for the women who are being abused in Middle Eastern lands and all the horrible things that are done, you'd say maybe there's a different agenda for these virtue supposedly invoking groups that don't do what they do, except they do everything against women or against mankind. So the whole idea of a gender confusion is to do the very thing I believe that you are picking up on. And by the way, feel free to interrupt me at any point, because I wasn't able to hear the background music. And so I want you to understand, John, you're free to interrupt me at any point.
Oh, listen, I do it all the time. I run those brakes so tight sometimes. Sometimes I get chopped off because I just can't stop. But I hate to interrupt you because it's so, it's good to listen to. Got to ask you a question here. this is a repeat email, but the email says he is so right. Ask him about the bloodline of Satan on Earth. The demons are here through the international bankers, the Rothschild, the Rothschild. That seems a little over the top to me, but absolutely nothing surprises me. It really doesn't. Sometimes disappoints me, but doesn't surprise me normally. Any thoughts on that?
Or, well, sure. And the listener is referring to, it's not just them, okay? The whole bloodline issue it goes right back to Genesis 3:15, because Satan does have a seed. And that seed he's injected himself into the human race and obviously wants to propagate his offspring. And this is what I think people have got to understand. Again, your emailer's really onto something here. I interviewed one of the most powerful illuminists I ever met in my life. He's now dead, so it doesn't matter. It would be no purpose to throw his name out there. But he was raised as a full-scale Luciferian by a very rich Texas oilman, okay? No last names, and there's no assumption to anything that starts with an H, okay? It's not going there. But I'm just saying this, from their inculcation as children, they're taught that Lucifer is the light bringer, okay? Matches used to be called Lucifers. The light bringer that is going to bring mankind out of his bondage to the living God, i.e. we would call him the God the Father, or the Hebrew God, I am that I am, not me, but God speaking as he revealed himself to Moses, and that they believe that literally they've been given the divine bloodline. They believe that the control of money, now this is what the listeners really clued in on. If you control the money, Ansel Rothschild made the statement, give me control of a nation's money, and I care not who writes its laws. Then you immediately contrast that with Jesus' words, the love of money is the root of all evil. What are we seeing right now, John, in the control of money? We are seeing the absolute subjugation, destruction, and the end to America's middle class. Someone says, that's a little extreme, Steve. No, it's not extreme. These people believe that they are the God-like ones, okay? I will be like the Most High God. They are of their father, the devil. And they openly worship Lucifer. And here's something, I'm not injecting this. I mean, some of these guys who are fabulous researchers have gone in and can show the bloodlines all the way back. They believe, wrongly so, that in nowhere in the Holy Bible does it maintain in any way, shape, or form that Jesus had any offspring physically. He did not have sex with Mary Magdalene and produce a race, if you will, of co-Jesuses throughout Earth. Now, there were people on the Earth who claimed to be Jesus, like Apollyonna of Tyana and others, who went around even to India claiming to be Jesus. In other words, that's why Jesus said, all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers. But unless someone understands the history, they don't understand that to control the money is to control life. And these guys are now choking the very life. These guys mean the international bankers. They are throwing the world into a global economic meltdown in order to bring about the New World Order under Lucifer, which George Bush Sr. referred to, 236 times in his last year of office? So they want control of money to control life. And John, you know, when you hear the stories of what people are going through, it's heartbreaking. And what else are they taking away? They're taking away hope, they're taking away dignity, and they're taking away the way that God ordained that every man can work, labor, and be able to provide for his family. The Apostle Paul said, any man that doesn't provide for his family is worse than an infidel, because there were infidels who thought that women should do everything. And I'm not, I'm saying this, is that in the context that we're talking about, the international bankers claim to be literally the not only the light bringers, but the controllers of the destiny of mankind. They want the planet rid of 5.5 billion people. And that should make about 5.5 billion people rather upset.
I would think so. You know, the emails that are coming in here, and I invited them, and I continue to invite them. It's John B., J-O-H-N-B, at coasttocoastam.com. They're right down the middle. There's a line right down the middle. They're either on board with what's being discussed tonight, or they're absolutely not. And there's no gray area there at all. We're coming across like a couple of, I'll get out the snakes and start rolling around and doing the olele, whatever. But that's not what's going on. Here's the thing. We're going to have to take a little break here. LA Control just said so. So we're going to. But here's the thing. Once you eliminate the impossible, whatever remains must be the truth. And it's up to the individual to determine what is true and what is not. That's all a part of that free will thing. So remain calm. This is Coast to Coast AM. We'll be back. You know, I have never been... I've never been inclined to say, well, you know what, I'm sitting here in front of this microphone, and at this moment, I am the most intelligent form of life in the universe, and I don't want any mention of God on my show. That's just really not me, because if we exist now, then most certainly we existed before, and more than likely we will exist after we throw off this mortal coil. So pray continue your singular narrative, which is not, it certainly is put in a singular form, and I like it, so just keep rolling. We were talking about how it's one side or the other. There is no gray area here, and it's really excellent to see these communications coming in from listeners. They come in from all over the world, they really do, and you know, the Europeans are like, oh, you know, we've already been through this. You have any idea how much trouble this whole religion thing has caused over here? It's like, yeah. And then as I hear you speak, Stephen, it's almost as though, well, these conflicts that we're experiencing here on planet Earth are also being experienced in the, for want of a better term, the heavenly realm. As a matter of fact, the first commandment is not... Well, the first commandment is, you'll have no other gods before me. He didn't say there weren't any other gods. He said you won't have any other gods before him. Yes? Where's Steve? I don't hear him.
Yeah, no, I'm right here, John. I just want to let you finish. Well, here's something that I'd like to put out there. When I write a book, there's 444 pages, and I'm just using this. After writing 10 books, I think people should understand that I absolutely do my homework. I'm aware of what organized, and I want to say this for the European listeners, I am aware, and I'm probably in more contempt for organized religion that has controlled and destroyed so many lives. But that doesn't mean the true doesn't exist, okay? When it comes to talking about the stuff I talk about, Stargates, there's three guys that really talk about it in the Christian realm, and we're the three that get hit with a lot of criticism all the time. You made the statement, John, I think it's obvious. There is a dividing line. There are those who say this stuff's a bunch of bunk. And most of Europe, by the way, has gone to the realm of God's not relevant anymore. So they're looking for something. As the country song said, they're looking for love, in my opinion, all the wrong places. If they have been so successful, look at the cluster mess up. I'm going to be nice. The cluster mess up that Europe is undergoing right now with Portugal, Italy, Greece, Spain, Ireland, the whole EU, they were going to band together as Babylon 2, but they can't even get along now because they're all, what, broke, and who's controlling the money? Ah, International Bank or Bank of International Settlements or the International Monetary Fund. What I'm saying is that they're looking for the same thing everybody else wants. Everybody else wants peace, purpose, and any right-minded person doesn't want war. They don't want war. So where does war come into it? So when let me just give some of the just may I do this just real quick?
Absolutely.
Some of the things I deal with, there are very few Christians out there who deal with what we deal with, okay? Myself, Tom Horn, Gary Stearman, and I'm saying this, these are the guys that I pay attention to. Those are two of the guys that get beat up and constantly attacked for taking stands. Those are two of the smartest guys in the world. Now, look, I would say this. I know the right questions to ask, but no one needs to be threatened, okay? If we're talking about aliens and UFOs, if we're talking about stargates, if we're talking about ancient animal-human hybrids, ghosts and aliens, demons, all of the transhumanism. See, the transhumanists are openly talking about creating what most people in Europe don't even want to discuss, and so now they want to throw out the God and become little gods, in my opinion. So when we're talking about the weather wars that are taking place, when people scratch their head, John, or other parts of their body, I tell them, I say, listen, why don't you take at least 1 hour out of your bias? Why don't you put your bias and your denial, and in many cases, hatred and anger towards anything you can't or you willingly choose to reject, i.e. God, and just look at this stuff. If somebody says to John and Steve, let's say we're together, John, in 5 minutes I'm going to run you over with a car. You see that red car down the road, and let's just make it fun, Ferrari Modena. I'm going to, in the quarter mile, get up to 120 miles an hour, and I'm coming straight at you guys. So we see the guy, we go, he gets in his car. You and I are standing, let's say, out in on a racetrack or something. He gets in his car. He's serious. He looks at us. We get that glint in his eye, and we know, you know what? He's serious. It's time to step out of his path. I think that the basic understanding of people is they want it on their terms, and they don't understand that the terms they're looking for are the very terms of their enslavement and worse, their destruction.
Let me ask you this. What effect do we imagine that this that our conversation tonight is having on people of other faiths, Muslims, for example?
Well, first of all, the realm of the jinn in Muslim theology and the end times is very present in their beliefs. I probably, for a non-Muslim, have a very good understanding from a Western approach of the jinn. I mean, even something as, like, let's talk science fiction or even science fiction shows like I Dream of Jeannie, you know, Barbara Eden in the Bottle. Where did the jinn, where did the promise of something that had been locked up coming forth, or the words abracadabra, or 1001 Arabian Nights, or any of the if you will, the historic points of Islam in their literature and in their belief system. The thing is that what I'm trying to say is you cannot escape the supernatural. Why are the sci-fi channel, they have what, ghost hunters, international ghost hunters. They have all these things. Listen, ghosts, demons, and all the different creatures of the night, they've been around since antiquity. Do you remember, John, the first Conan movie? Conan,
yes.
The barbarian, sure. With obviously Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, yeah.
You remember when he goes into the desert and there's this beautiful, alluring woman who welcomes him into her tent? Do you remember that scene? If you don't, it's based on the Middle East, the night hag, Lilith the night hag. And people can do, see, what we're trying to say is other faiths, all faiths, and it doesn't matter, they have a contact point with the supernatural, and all I'm doing is I'm not attacking their contact point, but I'm just saying this. Isn't it interesting that a night hag who basically lures a man to have sex and then devours him, literally eats him up as in a cannibal fashion, is that legend would be, you know, reappearing in the desert Southwest amongst the Native Americans? And isn't it interesting that the giants, the ogres of history, whether you're in the British Isles or you're in Cambodia, Laos, Thailand, this is something, the word giant is such an important understanding because it means something other than the scale and size of man. Plenty of indication that they affected history way more than anybody gives them credit for.
Let's talk about it when we come back. Our guest tonight, Stephen Quayle. His new book, Angel Wars, Past, Present, and Future, No Flesh Left Alive. John B. Wells in with you. Coast to Coast AM will return. I'd like to thank everybody who's sending the emails in. Some of this stuff is really good, most of it. And, of course, I'll try to answer as many as possible, but they're really coming in here. And our guest tonight, Stephen Quayle, wants to take us in some various directions, one at a time, of course. That'll make things a little bit more coherent. We are going to go ahead and knock out this, what we call a floating break, so we can have a nice long run up toward the top of the hour, and then next hour, we'll try and work in some of your calls, too. Thank you very much for being with us tonight. John B. in with you for the duration of this show. This is Coast to Coast AM. We shall return. Stephen Quayle, take us anywhere you'd like to go, because my head is reeling and I'm ready for just about anything. And according to the communications I'm getting from our audience, they are too. So hit me.
Well, I think, John, probably the greatest example of suppressed truth that's coming out is in the, remember when we used to be told about the moon not having any water and Mars not having any life? And people have got to see the change now in attitude of even the UFOs that are being seen, the triangular shaped spacecraft that are ours, by the way, the TR-3, Tango Romeo 3 Bravos and 3 Charlies and TR-4s. Most people don't understand that there is a total blackout to the mainstream of what's really taking place in space, what we really know about the planets. If the former head of Skunk Works, which is a top secret governmental development initial program that was under Lockheed, basically came up with a statement, Bud Rich at his retirement dinner, if the American people knew what we've done, that we've been beyond the stars, in essence, he said they'd be furious. When people look at the ending of the space shuttles, they think, oh, woe is us. It's a smart move to save money because we're so far beyond all that. Now we know, and some of us have been saying this for 15 years, I've taken a lot of heat, especially from quote-unquote Christians. They'll basically put a cross up like I'm a vampire because, that guy believes in UFOs. I don't believe in UFOs. I acknowledge them. I understand where they come from. I understand the technology, the people in the know. Look, I could know nothing except people have taught me, and I've learned to ask the right questions many times at my own expense, what really goes on behind the scenes. And what's astonishing to me when I've talked to some of the most important people, in my opinion, in the world, and these are not Luciferians, these are amazing men, they and women, they basically ask me a question. They're in a position sometimes to fly some of the stuff that most people don't even know exists. They say, you ask us, Steve, why we sit back and watch this go down, yet the American people won't speak up and won't elect people that will represent them. And this is true of the Europeans listening in, too, that we basically believe lies, promises that are based on nothing, but we'll never believe the truth that's based on something. So you can't have, in the UFO world, millions, and you go on YouTube and you'll see how many viewers there are to every specific video that's posted of triangular shaped or whatever shaped spacecraft. You can't see the aerial phenomenon associated with UFOs, for instance, over Moscow. We're seeing China and Russia showing the double sun. We're hearing all the talk about Elenin and Planet X being the 10th planet, Nibiru, Gabriel's fist. All of this stuff is classified under national security. Stan Dale used to be able to give such a wonderful picture of where earthquakes would take place based on what are called sea surface temperature anomalies. He was so good at it by the grace of God, very bright man, that the people that were feeding the data were ordered by presidential decree under George Bush to no longer make that stuff available to the public. Everything that is stuck under a national security blanket in this country, I think in Britain they call them national security letters, it's designed to keep you from knowing the truth. That's why the whole, and listen, if people want to take the official conspiracy 9/11 story that the government came up with as fact, then they're doing themselves a great disservice. But it's not only 9/11. I think 9/11 was the most in-your-face control of a staged event, if you will, false flag, covered up, and then absolutely perpetrated and kept going by those who deny the truth. When I talk to people, John, I'm sure you do too, behind the scenes, they're all saying the same thing. America's bankrupt. These are people in the know, by the way. Things are going to get really ugly when entitlement programs are cut off. You're seeing the fighting going on in the battles right now for the different amounts of money allocated to Social Security, who will get paid, who won't get paid. States are broke and literally going broke. Shut down Minnesota. You see, one of the things I've tried to present to people is this, is they can say what they want. Obviously, there are professionals who want to make sure that people like me and others are discredited. When I have a lieutenant colonel from Northcom sitting in my office in Bozeman, Montana, that's where I live, telling me, when you go on coast to coast, and then he named off some other people, and some of them are the people that are well-respected in the alternative community, our whole job is to control the flow of information and then to denigrate, to absolutely dilute, to absolutely pollute, and to character assassinate you. By the way, that guy was a Christian. And with tears in his eyes, listen, a lieutenant colonel, I'm not in the military, but that certainly isn't a private. And he said, Steve, I can't take it. And he said, well, they've got plans. So the planning is there. The military movements throughout the country, the helicopters, all the exercises. And I say to everybody in the military who's listening into this tonight, since when did the American people that your fathers, brothers, mothers, and others died for, since when did we become the enemy? Because something has changed in this country, something very drastic. Listen, a man who is an American, a woman who is American, a child who is an American, had an identity that was different than anything in the world. You don't put anything in front of the word American. It's not just because you're an Italian-American, a Polish-American, an Afro-American, a Japanese-American. The minute you take away and attack what it meant to be an American, you started to divide. You divided ethnos against ethnos. That means, exactly what it means, ethnicity against ethnicity. So now we're hearing, and let's look at this, John, because it involves Texas, we're hearing that American guns are being shipped to Mexico and used by the drug gangs. Now we're hearing that the very people that control the guns in this country are responsible for firearms up to 30,000. These are full automatic weapons. I'm a gun guy. I wish the press would learn to use the correct terms and quit using the word assault rifle. The point is that when you've got the head of the ATF having to secretly testify before Congress, being threatened with everything he's being threatened from the highest law enforcement in the land, we are a nation no longer of laws. We are a nation ruled by a hidden hand that wants the American population disarmed.
Well, you know what, Mike? Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
The thing is, in my info, I've received two or three pieces of information from undisclosable sources that indicate that those weapons actually were manufactured here, and they're AKs. They're Kalashnikov rifles, and I'm wondering, why are we producing Kalashnikov rifles here and then having the ATF oversee their transport south?
Well, the answer to that is the destabilization of the United States of America. Years ago, when I first started on talk radio, we were getting reports, and for the record, that was, I think, 15 years ago, John. The nice thing about talk radio is that you have had, I have had, George, others, Art, everybody who's been on talk radio has had we've had relationships with people or we've had communication with people that really were seeing things in real time and telling us. The problem is like you started out earlier in the show tonight, whether people believe it or not isn't the issue. Whether they, if it's happening, it's happening. And in those days, there were entire Chinese shipments of military heavy weapons coming in to the gangs on the West Coast. So why is our southern border wide open? I think it was, what, 40 or 42 people killed in the gunfights between the Mexican government and the drug gangs yesterday? 42 people. If you remember, ladies and gentlemen, we hear reports of coming from Afghanistan and the farthest parts of the earth that were involved in war, and that's a huge number, yet it's happening on the border. It's no longer safe in some border towns, and yet where is the disconnect? And by the way, AK-47s, 7.62x39, that is a light weapon. What I'm telling you is that the heavy weapons are flowing into Mexico. I mean, we're talking anti-tank weapons. We are talking shoulder-fired missiles. We're talking stuff that would blow most people's mind, and it filters through the gangs. So why is it that we'll send tens of thousands of U.S. troops who put their life on the line overseas for, quote, our interests, yet somehow the Border Patrol is licensed or relegated to having 9mm handguns and maybe a 12-gauge shotgun, and then there are their rules of engagement, and they're being outgunned. So I think the thing is that people have to understand the reason the southern border is open is because it is designed to be open, again, for the destruction of the United States of America. Why do we have the greatest tornadoes in history clustering and the electromagnetic signature of weather warfare indicating 2 days before that it's going to hit, and yet we're hearing that the President of the United States is out golfing or it's been a tough week, and then we hear the fact that all of these natural, and I say that with tongue in cheek, John, I believe these are man-made weather warfare incidents designed to destroy the growing capability of this country, designed to destroy the farm base of this country. And again, I've done my homework. If people don't understand that there are documents that already claim, and the top men in the world, whether it's Defense Secretary Cohen or Zbigniew Brzezinski, under the respective regimes they operate under, already admit to all this stuff, the scientists that developed it admit to it, then I got news for you. The arguments, well, I don't believe that. Their belief mean nothing. Seeing is believing, and when you see the devastation taking place in the Midwest and the lackadaisical approach of dealing with it, you've got to understand that there is a reason. You only focus on stupid stuff like murder trials and what new celebrities having what new affair to keep the people occupied. Americans have lost their critical thinking skills. It's, in my opinion, related directly to public education, and it's all part, I'll say it, I don't care. It's all part of the Communist Manifesto. And communism is, listen, socialism is not a good thing. We are seeing now the full implementation of godless rebellion and absolute the implementation of the one world government. And I want to say to people, if they think the people who are screwing us up on purpose can provide us a better future, boy, are you deceived.
That's for sure. You know, most people do not realize that socialism is nothing but communism light. The only difference that I'm able to discern is that, at least in a socialistic society as opposed to a communistic society, you can own private property, but that's about it.
Well, it's just like Animal Farm. All of us animals are equal, but some are just more equal. If you look at the ruling party of any communist nation, it doesn't matter, and the leaders, they live fat off the hog of the, or they live off the fat of the lawn, they eat the fatted calf, and yet people starve. Isn't that what we're seeing in the imperial presidency? Come on, when our president goes overseas and takes an entourage that exceeds anything in the history of the United States, both in cost and expense, and when you see the profligate, golf games and everything else, listen, I'm not down on a guy taking a day off, but I am down on the statement that when someone who's married to him says he never takes a day off. The point is look, It's almost like he was wound up and said, do the best job you can. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not talking politically. For the record, George Bush was probably one of the greatest spenders, and not, I am absolutely not a Bush fan, okay? This is trans-political. This ascends the politics. If John, it's like I tell people, they say, well, what do you think of the Republican-Democrat positions? I say, listen, it's just one street, and one's a prostitute working on the left side of the street, one's a prostitute working the right side of the street, and when the job is done, they've all got their money, and all their Johns are left penniless and absolutely pillaged, and I think that's what's going on. People say, then, what's the answer? Here's the answer. The answer is for people personally to take responsibility. I go crazy when people say, well, somebody ought to do something or blah, 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 blah. Most people in this country have become apathetic, indifferent, and non-caring, and especially the evangelical Christians. They're singing the sweet by and by while the sweet now and now basically cooks their goose. People have got to recognize that if they got a voice, they better use it, because if they don't use their voice and use common sense reason and look at a cause and effect, then we are beyond help. And in my opinion, outside of repentance on the level of Nineveh, we're already done. Even the Illuminati guys who contact me by email, they laugh and they say, Steve, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your breath. We got it. It's in the bag, pal. And, I mean, that's the kind of emails I get, plus the other ones I can't quote on the air. But the thing is that coupled in with those emails are more people saying, thank you. We knew something was wrong. I'm getting those right now. They're saying, for me, Steve, to thank you, John, because you're one of the few guys that takes a stand for what he believes.
You might as well, because, you got to check out of here sometime, so you might as well stand for something while you're here.
That's what I loved. We only had one conversation, as a matter of fact, and that's what I loved about you is obviously, in your world, in your realm, you made a statement to me that very few people make, and that's, hey, I know what God has done in my life. See, the man with the testimony of supernatural intervention in his life isn't at the mercy of the man who's the critic, It's just not. You know what you believe, and you're persuaded.
Well, and I'm not going to stand between somebody and a good idea, but here's the problem. People use this word religion. Doesn't religion just mean something that is done regularly? It has nothing to do with it. It doesn't have everything to do with your spiritual orientation. It's just something you can say that you ride your bicycle religiously every day. It doesn't mean you do it while you're in prayer. And, we've got like I say, these emails keep rolling in, and they're one side or the other. Let me ask you something, though. Let's say this is all contrived to destroy our country, which was once our nation. But it's now a country. I thought I lived in a city, and then later on I found out it's a market, actually. After this country is in chaos, after martial law is, let's say the economic situation deteriorates to the point where all these flash mobs and all this stuff, and I want to get to that after a break that we've got coming up here in a few minutes, another break. But what's causing these flash mobs? What's causing this accelerating violence, mindless accelerating violence, and if it has been put in motion to bring about the destruction of the country, well, what happens then? I mean, what's the point?
Well, the point is the destruction of the country.
Is that the whole thing? Just
the United States is divided up in 10 regions. Okay. And they actually, you can go on and look up 10 FEMA regions. You remember this, united we stand, divided we fall.
Yep.
Notice the statement, united, obviously United States, divided. The plan is to divide the United States. The plan is to incite rebellion. It's a Hegelian dialectic. Hegelian dialectic is simply this. You create the problem, you provide the solution, and by providing the solution, you bring about the desired result. No clearer Hegelian poster child could be defined in the Patriot Act. entities in our government, and by the way, I've had Steve Pichinik on my show, Deputy Undersecretary of State, and one of the most well-connected men in the world, Tom Clancy's former partner, author, you know, brilliant man. And he, the minute he goes on any talk radio, you, me, Alex, whoever, he immediately has some of the biggest guns in the world come out and address the fact that somebody who was an insider would say that it was an inside job. So they create the problem. Now we've got terrorists. Now we've got to basically have all these issues. And meanwhile, the people say, yeah, I want to be safe. And freedom is an expensive proposition. It also is a danger zone. But again, what they did is they made the American people the enemy, and they're allowing the enemies to have unbridled access to the country for its destruction.
We're going to carry on with this conversation, and on the other side of the top of the hour, as we say in the biz, we're going to get into the reasons behind this and possibly some countermeasures. Thank you for listening tonight.